You're listening to the Barry Egan Tapes on News Talk. I'm Barry Egan of the Sunday Independent, and my guest today is Sharon Corr. Merry Christmas, Sharon. Or as they say in Madrid, what is it? Feliz Navidad?
Feliz Navidad, yes, yeah. That's right. Yeah, happy Christmas, Barry.
How's Crimbo in Madrid?
Well, I mean, they just put up all the lights. It's looking pretty festive. The Botanic Gardens at the moment are really beautiful, really lit up. I think it gives a lot of people cheer at the moment because it's been a super tough year. I mean, all over the world, clearly.
Yeah.
But the Christmas sort of spirit is really nice here.
I mean, it was especially tough in Spain. I mean, in early March, the daily death rate was for COVID-19 was terrifyingly high.
Yeah.
What was March? Yeah. 14th, like when lockdown happened in Madrid?
It was very sudden. I had some pre-warning from my friends in Italy as to how bad it was over there. But I got up one day, I don't know when it was maybe the 11th or 12th or something, and went to take the kids to the park, the Retiro, you know, and it was closed. And I thought, oh, that's not a good sign. I reckoned, okay, this is our last day outside for a while. We went into a very, very strict lockdown, but it was super heavy. It was hard to deal with, yeah.
What was it like living with that fear?
I mean, it wasn't, I've not been, strangely enough, I'm a very optimistic person. And I don't really like to engage in fear too much because I almost feel like I'll bring it upon myself, you know, if I think that way. I was more concentrated on, you know, staying at home to make sure that we didn't give it to other people, you know, that, you know, we could be asymptomatic and pass it on to somebody who was, you know, who had, you know, a lowered immune system or an older person or something like that. But that was kind of my focus, you know, and just trying to keep the children active in an apartment, which was...
What was that like?
Oh, good God. There was a lot of TV watching, let's put it that way. There was a lot of crisps and TV watching, and I recovered my hate of ironing. And, you know, just we made the most of it, but it was surreal.
Yeah.
Really, really surreal, especially just going to the supermarket, the amount of police on the street, and you couldn't see their faces, so you couldn't tell their expression, and you'd get stopped and asked for your ID and where are you going, and, you know, it just, I felt like I was in some sort of crazy sci-fi movie, you know, yeah. Into the future. My father was an amazing walker, and I have that love of walking. So I really missed walking. That's kind of where I would get most of my exercise from.
Yeah.
And my apartment was too small to get any sort of, you know, major amount of steps going on. So every so often I'd get into a fitness thing and have the kids do a HIIT session, and which they weren't enjoying. And I'd do some yoga, and then I'd fall off this sort of wagon and go back to doing nothing. So, yeah. You know, like all of us.
What goes through your head when you're doing yoga in this current situation?
Well, it's about more or less keeping myself calm. You know, I use it mostly for just mental stability, because we are going through a tremendous period of change and upheaval in the world on many levels, economically, politically. And then with also clearly with this pandemic. So our whole lives have changed overnight. For me, it's about sort of calming my mind. I have a very overactive mind. What goes through my mind is I try to tell myself to shut up when I'm, you know, doing yoga.
How's that going?
You know, that proves a little difficult at times, but it certainly helps. To concentrate.
You read Michael Alan Singer's The Untethered Soul during the lockdown.
Yeah,
what did you learn from that?
It was absolutely amazing. It really soothed me. And, you know, it talks about the, You know that, you know, it's like you've got two voices in your head, or, you know, and you've got the one that nags you and really hates you and berates you all day long for not being good enough or for this or for that.
That's my primary voice, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're just, you know, they're really not a nice person, that person, you know. And so it was learning to sort of be aware of this voice, you know, that's, you know, just how often you would say something quite negative to yourself and then going, okay, well, that's a pile of crap, so I'm not going to think that, you know. So it's kind of like it gave me an overview of my own thinking, which really helped. I learned to be aware of that, which is very, very important. So then you can shut it off and just go, okay, that's rubbish. And even if it's not, it's of no benefit.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, are the Cores like a kind of a book club now? Because didn't Andrea recommend that to you? And then you introduced Sharon, Caroline to Deepak Chopra's Abundance Challenge.
Actually, Caroline introduced me to the Deepak Chopra, and Andrea introduced me to the Untethered Soul. And I've introduced them to other books like, you know, Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, and different things like that. But they're all super helpful, you know, just on, you know, controlling the mind and just feeling more with your heart rather than overthinking every situation, you know, and also just trying to, you know, there are some absolutely amazing things in life. Like I have two beautiful kids. I have my music. I have a new album coming out next year. There's a lot of good things to focus on. So the point is to sort of reconcentrate your mind towards the positive. I'm not totally successful at this. And
nobody is, though, are they, Sharon?
No. And that's the constant thing. But it's like that for everybody. It's just if you can try and reduce the level of negativity, that really helps.
Yeah,
you know, so that's the challenge, I think. But you know, it's I'd rather focus on the positive, and then of course there are some days where I'm just completely negative.
Were there,
you know,
some days,
like us all?
Yeah, absolutely. Are there some days, and I'm just going to ask you one question about this, mm-hmm. like living on your own with two kids, did it make it more difficult to deal with COVID-19, given like the year before last you broke up with your husband of 18 years? I mean, was that a challenge to be on your own?
Well, I mean, I'm quite happy to be, you know, single and you know, to look after my children. I set my own rules, and I don't answer to anybody, basically, except myself. And I really enjoy that. So I suppose in some way you miss a little bit of comfort, you know, but you know, it wasn't working out the other way. So no, I was definitely happier to be a single woman looking after my kids. Yeah.
And you have too many good things in your life to dwell on the past.
Well, listen, you know, these things happen, and I chose it. And I don't look back.
Tell me what Christmas was like for you as you know, growing up in Dundalk.
Well, it was a ton of fun, you know. You know, mum and dad were like just forever young. That's why I wrote the song So Young. That was about them.
Yeah.
You know, they just were always just, you know, 16 in their hearts, you know. And such, you know, they loved each other so, so well, you know. They were a very beautiful couple. Not that they didn't have their, you know, fights and all the rest. Of course they did. That's healthy. But I mean, you know, Christmas Day was, it usually started with Mass, as most Irish people then were doing. And Dad would play in the church. He would play the church organ. And then we go back and poor Mum, you know, she'd be preparing the turkey and everything, worked to the bone. And then we'd start with a few drinks. And the few drinks would keep going, typical Irish family. And we'd be listening to music all day long.
And playing it,
and,
maybe?
Yeah, we also did, yeah. We had, and sometimes, you know, family would come over and Dad would get us up to perform for the family, you know, which I never really looked forward to, but we did it anyway, you know.
What's the first song you remember playing?
Well, we used to do Holy Night a lot. I think that's my favorite Christmas hymn. We used to do that. I can't remember what else really.
Was it difficult for your parents to be running around after four very hyperactive children?
Well,
That's what kept them young, is it?
I wouldn't say we were all hyperactive, but I think that we were, you know, our mum and dad were real grafters. They had to work very hard. You know, we didn't grow up with a lot of money, like everybody else in Ireland. I mean, there were very few wealthy people in Ireland at the time, you know. So they were hard workers. And I think that that sort of sets a tone in the house, you know, where, you know, you try not to give them too much hassle because you know how busy they are, you know, and trying to keep you in food and clothes and all the rest, you know.
And did you have to look after Andrea and Caroline when you were younger?
Not really, no. I mean, mum and dad, well, mum, you know, mum was mostly a stay-at-home mum until her 40s, I think. And then she went back to work then and was very glad to do so. But she was an absolutely superb mother, just... You know, so earthy. So no, I didn't have to look after my other siblings. No, I didn't.
Yeah. Did you feel you inherited that from your mother? I mean, you're quite earthy yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm very earthy. I remind myself of her all the time. I'm a pretty traditional Irish mom. I love having a roast chicken ready for the children. Irish stew. I mean, all these traditions I just keep with me in Madrid, you know, wherever I go. And it gives the children a huge sense of security, especially since having gone through a breakup. I like to keep certain things that feel very, very secure for them, you know.
And can you remember being like 4 and 5 and 6 and Santa coming, you know?
Yeah, 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 I can. I remember, you know, just the excitement, and we'd get up too early and mum and dad would tell us to go back to bed because we'd get up at 4 in the morning, you know, and just the absolute thrilling excitement, you know, the night before and not being able to sleep. And, you know, just that getting mum and dad out of bed, who would be exhausted because they would have done a gig the night before, you know, and getting up and running down to the Christmas tree. And, you know, I remember, you know, oh, I got that doll Tiny Tears one year, I remember. And another year, you know, there was, we all got bicycles, you know, like racing bikes, which was amazing, yeah. Like an amazing, amazing gift that, you know, mum and dad were able to afford, you know, incredible.
And did you go racing into Dundalk with because your house has gone kind of a hill, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're kind of on the cusp of the hill. So, you know, we went cycling all over the neighborhood. Yeah, we did. Straight out.
What time did you come back?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Probably in time for dinner.
And is it like that for your kids now? I mean, they're racing. Well, obviously in COVID, it's more difficult. But last year, what was it like for them?
Well, last year, wait till I see. Oh, last year I took them home to Ireland for Christmas.
Yeah.
So we had a great day. They were hanging out with their cousins. We were in Andrea's house. She cooked an absolutely fantastic dinner, and they just hung out all. I mean, we left them to it. I mean, once there's enough children there, they don't hassle you know. So we just got down to, I think we were at the dinner table for about 9 hours.
Wait, did Andrea have leg irons for people you couldn't leave or something?
she strapped us to the chair. Actually, it was just conversation, and then, you know, food and, you know, nice drinks. And
so it was pretty much like the Christmases you had as a kid. Endless food and drink and singing and, you know, dancing.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really, really sweet night. It was lovely because we actually had the whole family there, you know, which was great. And Andrea's husband and Andrea's mother-in-law as well. So, you know, it was very, very sweet. It was a lovely Christmas, really, really nice, especially for me, my first sort of divorced Christmas. It was really nice to be with family.
Tell me, the last Coors album, was it Jupiter Calling 2017? When are you likely to be in a recording studio or on touring again? I know you say you have a solo album coming out next year. Does that mean the Coors will be the following year or the year after? Or is there a plan? Or can you plan?
Well, I mean, you know, we were looking at stuff last year and everything got cancelled because of COVID, of course. So setting touring dates at the moment is pretty much, you know, like just this, you know, variable, you know. So I think we're going to have to feel it out. I'm going to release my solo album first and try to tour that, you know, slowly, you know, maybe start in Madrid and then, you know, go to London, Dublin, you know, but, you know, do it just slowly and surely, within, you know, whatever restrictions are applied. And, you know, I don't know, maybe hopefully later in the year or the following year, we'll do something again, because the Coors are always the Coors. We may go away for a certain amount of time, but we always come back and we always have that magic of making music together.
Yeah. I know Elvis recorded some tracks in Graceland's. Could you not just set up recording equipment at Christmas in Andrea's house or something, and just when you're all singing around the Christmas table, record like
that?
Well,
I'll tell you what. I mean, I do a lot of recordings at home here in Madrid right now, and I record sort of remotely with a friend of mine from Italy, Andrea, a drummer from New York, a bass player in London. I'm working on a Brazilian piece at the moment with a bass player from São Paulo. So I do a lot of remote recording, and at the moment I'm actually setting up a home recording studio. Yeah. So that's what I'm working on at the moment.
Listen, Sharon Corr, thanks so much for this. I mean, I'll say it again in my bad Spanish. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
The Barry Egan Tapes on News Talk. At AJ Products, we offer workplace solutions for office, school, warehouse, and environment. But at AJ, we do things differently. Our approach to quality and innovation means we design and make many of our own products, giving a more unique and personal service to our customers. Like our classic and campus clothes lockers, designed and built in our own factory. And our whiteboards, guaranteed for 25 years, only at AJ. Visit ajproducts.ie or call 01 28 11 700. AJ Products. Surprisingly more. Ask AJ.